Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another edition of Centurion Faith, the podcast that helps the believer in Jesus Christ to seek the kind of faith that makes him marvel. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to him must not only believe that he exists, but that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." This is a podcast that is designed specifically for believers that are diligently seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with everything that's in them. Certainly none of us doing it perfectly, but knowing that we follow a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, and that he's leading us into higher and higher planes, higher and higher revelation of his presence in our lives and his power in our lives and his word. I thank you for listening to this podcast. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So I really am trying to, as we see the day approaching and we see the times that we're in, I'm really trying to keep laser focused on Jesus in accordance with his word. If your eye be single, Jesus said, single focused on him. Matthew 6:22, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And we focus according to Matthew 7:24, and we build our foundation of this house of God on the word of God. And so this podcast really seeks to have to help the believer possess the kind of faith that makes Jesus marvel. This podcast, Centurion Faith, is based on the centurion's faith, the only faith that we see in the Bible that made Jesus marvel. It's the only place in the Bible, Matthew 8:8, Luke 7:7. Those are markers, but those are around, right in the center of the whole story. You can find the story of the centurion that told the Lord Jesus, "You don't have to walk, you know, all those miles to my house to heal my servant. But if you just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I say to another, do, and he does." When Jesus heard this, the Bible says he marveled, and he said, "I've never seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel." In other words, this heathen centurion, not even a covenant person, not a Jew, has just shown me the greatest faith I've ever seen, greater than the faith of Israel. Oh boy, this is crazy. Well, I discovered something else this morning. I did say discover because it's always been in there, but I rediscovered for myself something that is really profound, something that is so profound. There is something else that made Jesus marvel, and you can find it in Mark 6:6. And you know what that is? Jesus marveled at the unbelief of his disciples. He marveled. Wow. I'm just going to read. I know you're not going to believe this, but he marveled at unbelief. So we see these two things. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can have the kind of faith that makes Jesus marvel. But then we see this countermeasure of the devil that's always pushing against us. And that is what the Bible calls unbelief. It's this counterforce. And it's something that's real. I'm just going to let the word of God do its speaking here. Mark 6, if you'll join me. Mark chapter 6, right at the beginning. "And Jesus went forth, and he came into his own country," right, his own town, "and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence has this man these things?'" In other words, how did this man learn these things? "And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And the mighty works that are wrought by his hands?" Question mark. Like, where's all this coming from? This great teaching, this great wisdom, these mighty works. Where is it all coming from? Question mark. "Is not this carpenter," talking about Jesus, "the son of Mary, And aren't her brothers James and Hoseas and Judah and Simon, aren't those his sisters that are with us? And they were offended in him. In other words, they said, isn't this just a normal guy? Isn't this just the son of Mary and his brothers James? And he lists the family members, his Jesus's half-brothers and sisters. And all of a sudden, they were offended because they just said, this can't be. This can't be. But Jesus said to them, a prophet, when they said this, he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin, that's his own family, and in his own house. So they dishonored him by dismissing his power, his strength that he had in his teaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom that he had by the Holy Spirit, and the mighty works that he had by the Holy Spirit. And they were offended that they saw God, the Holy Spirit, the power of God working in just an ordinary man. Keep in mind, Jesus was an ordinary man that did extraordinary things. I'm sorry for pausing. My phone was going crazy on me here. It's still recording, so excuse me for that pause, but that's what we call a pregnant pause, right? But they were offended. They were offended that they saw the power of God working in an ordinary man. We have to remember Jesus came as a man. He humbled himself and he took on the form of a servant. And he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. And this is all, you can find this all in Philippians chapter 2. It says he came as a man. He laid down his life for us and to show us how a man could walk with God, talk with God, how a man could be reconnected to God and what it would look like. And these things, Jesus said, all these things that he was experiencing, we would experience too. He says, if they hate you, they hated me. You know, if they come to you and they listen to you, they listen to me. So some people came and listened. Some people rejected Jesus. He said we would have the same exact experiences. Whatever happened to him would happen to us. So think of that today, that he's saying that people that rejected him would reject us when they see us working in the power and authority of God's word and with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. After he says a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own family, and in his own house, a prophet is not welcomed and is disrespected. And then it says in Mark 6:5, and he could do no mighty works except for laying hands on a few sick folks and healing them. He was limited. His power was limited. He marveled because of their unbelief. And so he went around about to other villages around his own hometown, teaching, preaching, and healing. Can you believe that? That Jesus, it says right here, was limited by the unbelief of the people. People that are teaching the sovereignty of God, the hyper-sovereignty in God, well, he can just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and we can't question anything, are missing out on a lot of the Bible. They must have a Bible that has a lot of pages missing, because clearly states, and not only here, but in so many other places, Matthew 17, which we're going to go to in a minute, that Jesus was limited by the unbelief of the people. In his sovereignty, he laid down his Godhead, his godliness, to live as a man so he could relate to us on this level. I like to say it this way. He came down to where we are, down here in the dirt and the filth and the sin of this world. He came down to where we are to bring us up to where he is. He came down to wash the filth of this world off of us and to renew us and make us right in our spirit with him, unite us. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him, that we might be born again, born of a new spirit, that we can walk as men under the same power, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, we have. And the only thing that I believe that is limiting him today is our unbelief. He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And he marveled at their unbelief. Mark 6:6. And he went around to the other villages. So he went around his own hometown to where he wouldn't get rejected, teaching people. And he called the 12 and he began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for the journey, no scrip, no bread, no money, just go out, right, with nothing but the power of God. Wow. And he said to them, whatever house you enter, abide till you depart from that place, and whoever shall not receive you or not hear you when you depart, just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Shake off that dirt off your feet. Verily I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment for that city that rejects you, the disciple, he's saying. Not him. Now he's talking about when they reject you, they reject Jesus. And they're going to have to answer for that. That's amazing. Wow. And they went out and they preached that men should repent, change your mind. And they cast out devils when they anointed the sick with oil and they healed them. They went out in the name of Jesus and did all these signs and wonders. This is amazing. Jesus says in John 14:12, before he goes to the cross, he said, all these things I've been doing, you're going to do all these things and more because I go to the Father. And he talks about when he goes, he finishes his work. He dies for the sins of the world to take that burden of sin off of us. Not only for the sins, our sins, but the sins of the entire world, 1 John 2:2. And that he would be received up to heaven on the third day. And he would be seated at the right hand of God the Father with his feet on the earth. Now expecting our enemies to become our footstool. He's seated in heavenly places. And we are seated with him. And he has given us the same Holy Spirit as believers that he had. This is amazing. Colossians 2:10 says that you are complete in him who is head over all principalities and powers. We're complete. We're lacking nothing. That word complete in the Greek is pleru, I think it's pronounced. And it says one that has been filled. Completely filled. We've been filled to the brim. We're lacking nothing except belief. And so how do we rid ourselves? Like the man said to Jesus, the man came to Jesus, the disciples in Matthew 17 couldn't cast out this unclean spirit that was in this man's son. So they brought him to the disciples and they couldn't cure him. And then Jesus said, when they came to him and said, your disciples could not cast this demon out of my son. Jesus said to them, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the boy to me, bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and it departed out of him. And the child was cured in that very hour. That means a very moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately or apart, it says, and they asked him, what were we doing wrong? How come we couldn't cast out this devil out of this child? What were we doing wrong? And Jesus said unto them, listen to this, wake up for a second, get your spiritual smelling salts out and listen to what Jesus said. Here's the reason, and this could be the reason that you and I today are not operating in the fullness of God, which he's given us. Jesus said to them, it's because of your unbelief. Wow. It's because of your unbelief. The same word he said before. He could do no mighty works in his hometown because of the people's unbelief. And he said to them, and he says to us, it's because of your unbelief. For verily or truly, I say to you, if you just had faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove from hence, from this place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then he said to them in the next line, howbeit this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting, this kind of unbelief. So many people, the majority of people teaching this scripture, say that the demon could only go out by prayer and fasting. Jesus didn't need to go off and pray and fast to get out a certain demon. Every demon shuddered at his name. We bear that same name today, and we have the same power and same authority. We don't have to go off and pray and fast and then come back and cast out a demon. This verse clearly says this kind of unbelief only comes out with prayer and fasting. I'm praying lately and I'm fasting. I'm pressing into prayer and I'm fasting. And I'm asking for the power of the Holy Spirit as I pray and fast to rid me of any and all unbelief. And whoever's listening to this in the name of Jesus, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. And if we agree touching anything, he'll do it. Well, I say right now, under the same power, authority, and anointing that we've all been given fullness in Christ, everybody in the body. And the Lord is waking us up, and I declare and decree over you and me, unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, you are no longer welcome here. You are an intruder in this house of God. You are an intruder in this body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I command you to go, unbelief. And I command you to flow, power of God. I command the unbelief to go, and I release the power of God that's already been given to us for the benefit of others that we run into today. This unbelief has got to go. This unbelief will go in the name of Jesus and through the power of prayer and fasting. Unbelief, go today. In Jesus' name, you must go. You are an intruder in this house of God. Father, I thank you for this message and for the Holy Spirit and for revelation in Jesus' name.